Hey everyone, happy Friday. I finally finished my video on European multiculturalism, which is live on Patreon already and should come to the main channel next week. This week we have an edition full of news about the EU's place in the world with the rise of the euro, the Chinese-EU relationship, and the exaggerated rumors of the death of the transatlantic alliance with Giorgia Meloni's Make the West Great Again. So let's get into it. The euro is on the rise. It recently hit a three-year high against the US dollar because of Donald Trump's tariffs and tweets have shocked financial markets, and his trade war against China especially has created a lot of instability. So investors are looking for stable alternatives, and many think they've found it in Europe. 60% of investors expect higher than predicted European growth in the next year. As a result, investors are moving billions from the US funds and assets to Europe. This has caused the dollar's value to decline by 8% in the last 3 months compared to other currencies, while the euro has surged. It's even prompted some to speculate that the euro could even compete with the dollar to become the world's reserve currency. Today, about 60% of foreign reserves are in dollars, and central banks and investors hold it, and it's used mostly for global trade. This demand helps the US borrow cheaply and attract investment. The euro is second, making up 20% of global reserves, but most of that is in European countries themselves. But it has potential. To be widely used, the currency needs to be available in large amounts. And because of the EU and European countries going on a spending spree, there is now a lot more EU debt available. It issued 600 billion euros in bonds during the pandemic, has another 150 billion planned for defense, and even fiscally conservative Germany has announced 500 billion euros in infrastructure spending and relaxed budget rules. Europe's largest bond exchange, Eurex, will send up a new contract for EU debt in September, and EU debt is in high demand. There's about 8 times as much demand for EU bonds than there are actually bonds being emitted. But there are some pretty large obstacles to the euro becoming a reserve currency. Large debts in Italy and Greece at over 150% of GDP could spook investors. And fragmented markets means trading euro assets is harder. And most of global trade in commodities like oil and global contracts are still charged in dollars, something that is unlikely to change rapidly. But while the euro might not become the reserve currency, its newfound strength has some pretty big implications for the European economy. First is that imports are cheaper, especially in energy, which means Europe can buy things like LNG at a discount. Another advantage for Europe is that it's lowering its debt costs. As you can see in this graph, German bond yields decreased by more than 10% last month, as investors turn to European debt. This means Germany and other European countries can borrow money more cheaply. However, for European industry, this poses a problem. A stronger euro means European goods are more expensive for foreign buyers, and that means tougher competition, especially with Chinese manufacturers, especially since the renminbi's worth fell by 5% last month compared to the euro. In response to the euro's strength as a result of Trump's trade war, the European Central Bank has cut interest rates once again. So, the euro has surged because of American protectionism and investment in Europe, and the results are a pretty mixed bag. We'll have to see how this develops in the coming months. Is President Trump pushing the EU into China's arms? Well, China would like that. It's launched a diplomatic offensive calling for closer trade relations after Trump started his trade war. And with European countries looking for economic opportunities to limit the trade fallout, some countries are open for business. China is the EU's second biggest trading partner after the US. Last year, the EU exported more than 200 billion euros worth of goods to China and imported 500 billion, accounting for 21% of the EU's imports and creating a massive billion euro deficit. Some countries like Spain and Hungary want to trade even more. Pedro Sanchez even calls China an essential partner. And it's been echoed by Xi Jinping, who wants the EU and China to work closer together now that China and the US are hitting each other with tariffs over 100%. But in recent years, trade issues between China and the EU led their relationship to an all-time low. And that's because economic reality stands in the way. Multi-billion subsidies to China's industry have fueled overproduction, flooding European markets with cheap goods and undercutting industries like green technologies. Meanwhile, China limits access to its own markets. Brussels has fired back with investigations into unfair subsidies and market barriers. They've led to tariffs like up to 45% on Chinese electric vehicles, as well as withdrawals of Chinese companies from public tenders. And China has hit back with its own tariffs. So trade talks will take place with guns at the table. At the same time, the EU is rolling out its economic security and de-risking playbook to reduce dependencies on Chinese high-tech and critical materials. More trade with China would clash with the EU's strategy. Trump's tariffs could make these problems worse, as Europe becomes even more important for Chinese exports. In fact, the EU warned against cheap Chinese goods meant for the US moving to Europe. But that's already happened. Chinese exports to the EU increased by 10% in March compared to last year, making the deficit even bigger. China has also limited exports on critical minerals. Apart from their trade relationship, the EU and China have more and more political problems. With their no-limit partnership, China helps Russia to work around sanctions, providing goods and technologies for military equipment. The EU's chief diplomat Kaja Kallas even calls China a key enabler in Russia's war. In an attempt to remind the EU of China's role in the Russian-Ukrainian war, President Zelensky pointed to Chinese volunteers captured at the front. On top of this comes actions like China's aggressive behavior in the Taiwan Strait, human rights violations like its repression of the Uyghurs, cyber attacks against European hospitals, militaries and politicians, and illegal Chinese police stations in Europe. While the EU calls China a strategic rival, economic competitor, and a potential partner, the balance has shifted to rival and competitor. Even Germany, whose main goal has been to increase exports to China, is now calling China a systemic rival in its coalition deal and wants de-risking. So in short, Europe won't rush into China's arms. Old trade and political problems remain and will likely get worse. But while Trump pushes them closer together on paper, reality probably will keep pulling them apart. The election of Donald Trump, his trade policies, and his stance on the Russian invasion of Ukraine have prompted European leaders to declare the death of the transatlantic alliance. That's why European leaders were nervous when Italy's Giorgia Meloni and Europe's Trump whisperer visited the White House last week, only to promise to work together with President Trump to make the West great again. So could it be that rumors of the death of the transatlantic alliance are overblown? Well, Meloni still sees Europe and the US as allies, from trade to security. She wants the EU to have a constructive approach with the US. As the EU's third largest exporter to the US and relying on NATO for its defense, staying friendly is in Italy's interest. But it's also ideological. Meloni aligns with Trump on limiting migration and woke ideology. She calls the West a civilization that she wants to strengthen, receiving praise from Trump. Speaking the same political language has enabled Meloni to act as a bridge between Europe and the US. While most European leaders panicked on Trump's statements when it came to trade security in Ukraine, she stayed calm. But even Atlanticists are changing their tune. Incoming German Chancellor Merz called strengthening Europe to make it independent from the US his priority. And the EU has responded, like with its 800 billion euro defense spending plan, favoring European-made technologies and billions to support industries. But there's a new transatlantic alliance forming with Europe's nationalist right. Leaders like Orbán, Le Pen, and Wilders have embraced Trump's migration policies, nationalism, and opposition to woke. The Patriots in the European Parliament, the third largest group, even copied his slogan, Make Europe Great Again. In turn, Elon Musk and Vice President J.D. Vance have shown support for far-right parties like Germany's AfD. More traditional transatlantic champions like Poland and the Baltics still wave the NATO flag, arguing that Europe can't defend itself without the US. Poland supports European defense measures while trying to keep the US on board. It's against excluding American weapons from the EU's 150 billion euro defense fund, for example. But how would the transatlantic alliance change if more nationalists take over? Well, Europe's far right is already more powerful than ever, winning elections and in more governments than ever before. Italy is already acting as a bridge between Europe and the US. But with more countries possibly receiving a nationalist right leader, Trump's views might echo louder in Brussels, like on migration, reducing bureaucracy, and the Green Deal. But nationalism and American pressure can cut both ways, like with Trump's tariffs, Denmark clashing with Trump over his claims to Greenland, or Hungary attracting Chinese investments. And showing support for Trump might not be the best political moves, as more Europeans see the US negatively. It's clear Europe's relation with the US is no longer one size fits all, but with European nationalists calling to make the West great again, it might mean the transatlantic alliance could undergo a revival, albeit on very different terms, with Atlanticists, nationalists, and pragmatists coming together. But only time and elections can tell what the future will hold for Europe's relationship with the United States. And now for our weekly brief. The US fined Apple for 500 million euros and Meta for 200 million euros for breaking its big tech rules. The fines come after President Trump called the EU's tech regulations extortion of American companies and threatened it with more tariffs. In economic news last year, average government debt in the EU increased slightly to 81% of GDP. Most EU countries spent more than they brought in taxes, with an average budget deficit of 3.2%. The highest deficits were recorded in Romania at 9.3% of GDP and Poland with 6.6%. France came close by with 5.8% and Slovakia at 5.3%. In Vatican news, Pope Francis has passed away, kickstarting a secretive process to choose his successor. Cardinals vote behind closed doors until a candidate gets a two-thirds majority. The candidates fall into factions of progressives and conservatives and moderates. But by appointing 110 of the 135 voting cardinals, mostly like-minded, Pope Francis has heavily weighed in on the future direction of the Catholic Church. In economic news, the EU hit a record high for jobs since 2005, with the lowest unemployment since 2000 at 5.7%. In more economic news, European universities are scrambling to attract talented researchers leaving the US amidst Trump's funding cuts and pushback against diversity and inclusion policies. Researchers in the fields like climate science, social sciences, and vaccines are now looking to move to Europe. At France's Aix-Marseille University, 298 scientists applied, many of them focusing on gender studies and history. In Germany news, the AfD is set to see their influence grow in the German parliament, with it set to receive its first commission presidencies for the first time. It's a sign that the firewall against the far-right party is fragmenting, especially after it became the most popular movement in the polls. Will this open the door to political collaborations in the future? We'll have to wait and see. In diplomacy news, the Dutch military intelligence said Russia tried to interfere in last year's EU elections by hacking Dutch political parties and public transport websites to make voting harder. For our paper of the week, we look at the economic damage of multinationals moving profits out and between European countries. That's what researchers found in their study, The Missing Profits of Nations. They estimate that multinationals shifted 36% of profits to tax havens with lower taxes in 2015. This reduced global tax revenue by over $200 billion per year. The EU loses the most. High tax rate countries like France and Germany led multinationals to massively move profits. In 2015, this reduced corporate tax income by 18% in the EU compared to 14% in the US, and 5% in developing countries. But some low-tax European countries like Ireland, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Luxembourg actually profited, with Ireland topping the list, receiving nearly $100 billion in shifted profits in 2015. It's something to take into account when you look at inflated GDP figures. Anyways, that was it for this week. If you like this video, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe for the latest updates and analyses on European news. And I'll see you next week.